May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 642. Once more, dear God of grace, thy earthly courts we tread. We come to see thy face and banquet with our head. We long, we faint, we pant for thee, and hope that with us there wilt be. Hymn 642.
Reading of the Word of God is first from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53, And then from the Acts of the Apostles, part of chapter 8, Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Would you now please turn to the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and we'll commence reading at verse 26. Chapter 8 of the Acts of the Apostles, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. But he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. The Lord bless the reading of his word to us each and help us in prayer. Dear Lord, grant us that Holy Spirit's influence and leading. Lord, help us to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Dear Lord, we confess to thee all our transgressions and all our iniquities. We pray for the pardon and forgiveness, and tis to be washed clean from sin and evil. Lord, tis through Jesus Christ that we seek these mercies. But, O Lord, that we might know thy presence here this night. What is the house to me, one said, except the Master, there I see. And as he has promised to meet, even two or three are gathered together. O Lord, we plead a promise and look to thee to fulfil that promise. Grant us too the influence of the Holy Spirit, O Lord, and to whom wilt thou grant it, Lord? Wilt thou give it to the seeker? Wilt thou give it to the needy and the poor? Wilt thou give it to, Lord, those who stand constantly in need of thy Spirit? Oh, and when we come to read the word, Lord, that thou wilt send thy Spirit then, that thou wilt open it up, and that thou wilt apply it. Lord, we do hope that the day will come when each shall see the need and feel the need of the Holy Spirit's instruction. Lord, it is recorded, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. O Lord, that's what we seek for. Be very mindful, Lord, of us each gathered here, both young and old and those in the midst of life. Lord, we commend each to thee because, Lord, they're in the means of grace and they have an ever-dying soul. We do pray, dear Lord, that each may know the value of an ever-dying soul. that, Lord, may it please thee that through thy Spirit that each may hunger and thirst, Lord, to come unto that blessing of which the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Lord, we know what it is to bless thee for poverty. We know what it is to thank thee for possessing nothing, because, Lord, we are wholly dependent on thee, pouring out and the pouring in of thy good Spirit. Lord, make us therefore, each of us, if it's thy will, Lord, to seek thy face. Lord, one said, in the Gospel, we would see Jesus. Lord, we trust and hope that there are those amongst us that would. Oh, to see him now, it is only by revelation. We read in the Apostles' words, that I may know him. Lord, we pray that there may be that desire in each heart to know him, whom to know aright is life eternal. Perhaps, Lord, there might be a soul here that has to come with one of old. I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. Lord, are there those that feel more like giving up looking, that are persuaded by their own evil heart, that it is, Lord, a forlorn hope, or does that dread, Lord, led lest it shall all come to nothing, that thou rulest and reignest over the poor and the needy. When the poor and the needy seek water and there is none, and their soul fainteth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them, I, the God of Jacob, will bless them. We thank thee for the Holy Spirit's work. Lord, we know that it is effectual. We know this, Lord, that it pulls down before it builds up. We know this, that it empties before it fills. Lord, what a blessing that is. For it's far better, Lord, to come as a poor and needy soul than to come and rest on something, Lord, which is not of thee, which is perhaps more flesh. Oh, we do thank thee, Lord, that thou dost deal with thy people for their eternal good. We do pray, Lord, that such circumstances and such divine teaching may be made and felt within, so that there is that desire. Lord, we often hear it spoken about a man who prayed for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, what a blessed desire, and what revelation he must have had of his own sad state. But Lord, there was one little gleam of hope. He came looking for mercy. Lord, where there is sin and no desire, there's no mercy. Oh, but where there's sin revealed and a desire for mercy, there's hope. Lord, the God of mercy, the God of all grace, will not forsake his work. Lord, we do seek for all that they may indeed be brought to cry for it and seek after it. Dear Lord, remember this place. Oh, we thank thee that thou hast remembered it, and that thou hast maintained them. And as they gather here in thy house on a weeknight or on a Lord's Day, gather with them. O, shed abroad thy love, Lord, in the hearts of thy people. Quicken souls and make them cry, give me Christ, or else I die. Lord, we do pray that there may be a stirring up in the hearts of the children of God to pray, to call upon the name of Jesus, to present the burdens of the cause of truth, to seek for those times of reviving, spiritual times of reviving, that the poor and the needy may be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Lord, remember the little church, and according to the eternal purposes of God, may there be an adding to them. Lord, may the desire be in the heart even now that thou would revive and strengthen the things which remain. Those who hold office, we commend to thee. Seek that thou would grant them the grace that they feel to need, and help them to persevere. Help them, Lord, to not only pray but watch. Continue in prayer, watching unto the same. Lord, may they not be careful and troubled about many things, but may they find, Lord, that patient waiting upon thee. Guide their thoughts and meditations, Lord, as they have to choose hymns or read sermons sometimes. Lord, guide their thoughts. May all be done for thy honour and glory, and for the good of those who attend here. Remember the ministry. Lord, as often as thy servants come, we pray that they may come with a word from thee for this people. Oh, we do ask, Lord, that it may be so. Lord, that will indeed encourage thy servants, as well as encourage the hearers. Lord, hear prayer, we pray thee, especially for the young people, that they may cast their impossibilities on thee and seek thee daily. Lord, not out of repetition, but out of need. We do indeed seek the welfare, Lord, of each that come here. The Holy Spirit work in these dark days and encourage them. We would remember all thy servants, Lord, remember those in affliction. Lord, remember those, Lord, that labour this night or have laboured this week. And then, Lord, there is the Lord's day in front of them. Oh, Lord, we have to use Paul's words, who's sufficient for these things? But he also could say that our sufficiency is of God. Lord, thou knowest thy servants. Lord, thou art sent out dependent. They're not sent with something to use until they go out. And we thank, Lord, of the need of the churches that thou art indeed raise up others, thrust them out to preach the everlasting gospel. Lord, the word of God is our direction to ask. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will indeed send labourers into his harvest. But we thank, Lord, too, what it is to be a servant of God. Lord, it is to serve him, he who rules and reigns on no uncertain throne. Oh, it is to seek his smile. My servant the apostle wrote to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, not approved unto man. That won't help, Lord. Oh, we indeed seek thy smile. thy approbation. That's the only thing we ask for. Oh, hear our prayers, revive thy work in the midst of the years. We do seek, Lord, especially for the returning influence of the Holy Spirit in the dwellings in Zion, Lord, as twos and threes, perhaps a few more here and there. Lord, it's the restoring and the reviving. Lord, are those here that have known those times when thou hast revealed thyself and now at this time feel, Lord, to be bereaved of such blessings? Oh, do hear us, Lord, and show thyself again. Lord, one said in the psalm, remember the word upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Lord, remember those who, like David, feel perhaps they've sinned away thy mercy. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free Spirit. Oh, hear prayer, Lord, for all in affliction, not only amongst thy servants, Lord, but amongst all that fear thy name. Balance the clouds, Lord. Balance the clouds. Oh, by these things we read men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Lord, we don't seek for trouble, Lord. We pray indeed to be delivered from trouble, but when tribulation or affliction comes, may there be a balancing of the cloud. Hear us too as we pray for those that are sorrowing in bereavement. It is a path we all must walk, one way or the other, Lord, it will be so. Speak a word to those in distress, and may thy presence be with them in the lonely times, in the quietness of their soul. May thy presence be revealed. Lord, we live in evil days, and Lord, we pray to be preserved from seeking the spirit of the world. Separate us in heart and affection, Lord, from the desires of the world. At the same time, Lord, we would return thanks for all the mercies of providence. No more than others we deserve, but thou hast given us more. Lord, keep the spirit of the world out of our hearts. We have an old nature. Lord, it's corrupt and it's ruined. And it desires, Lord, what the world desires. But Lord, we hope we have another nature. Lord, it sets our affections upon things above, not on things of this earth. We would pray, Lord, for our land and nation, but what can we say, Lord? And what can we pray for? We can only beg for mercy. Lord, we write for judgment, Lord. We have ungodly leaders, full of their own abilities and importance. No fear of God before their eyes. Lord, what can we say to thee? All men's hearts are in thy hands. Oh, help us to look above all these things and look to thee, to guide us with thy counsel, and afterward receive us to glory. Lord, we would thank thee for every mercy and favour. All are undeserved. Lord, what can a sinner deserve other than thy judgments? But we do pray, Lord, that thou wouldst spare us from judgment and show us mercy. The desire is there. Lord, we seek for mercy every day. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst indeed keep us from evil. Lord, we pray that that precious blood that was shed for many may be applied. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains. Lord, what more can we ask for than the pardon and forgiveness of all our sins? Wash the prayers that are offered in the blood of Jesus. Be our helper, Lord, as we turn to the Word of God. Grant light and understanding. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 139. My shepherd will supply my need. Jehovah is his name. In pastures fresh he makes me feed, beside the living stream. Hymn 139.
dependent entirely upon the help of God, I would direct your attention to the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostle and verse 35. The 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles and verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth again at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Then Peter opened his mouth and again at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. One or two things must be said respecting the occasion and the person. The preacher was one of the seven deacons that was appointed for the care of the churches while the apostle went on there or in their preaching. That was Philip the evangelist, as the 21st chapter of this book tells you. Of course, you will know, I'm sure, by what preceded this occasion, that he was preaching in Samaria, in the text, Christ. That was the text. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. But then he had that sad disappointment. Whilst many heard the words of the Lord Jesus, heard the words of Philip respecting the Lord Jesus Christ, and was blessed. But then comes what really must be described as one who had the name of religion, but not the work of grace. Simon the sorcerer. What was wrong with him? His heart wasn't right. Dear friends, how solemn it is. For thy heart is not right, not in the sight of man, but in the sight of God. So he who looks into the mind and searches out the exercise of the people of God also sees where there is false religion. Well, then the Lord had still a work for him to do. And he sent him to a most unusual place, desert, a wilderness. Nothing in the desert? Let me ask a question. How is your soul? Is it like a wilderness? Is it like a desert? Nothing growing, nothing active? Or may the Lord send a minister to a desert place and give him a word to speak and revive his work in the midst of the years. Then we have this character, which is all we know about him, was he was an Ethiopian, and he was in a very responsible position. Had the charge of all the treasure of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. But there's every evidence, at least I feel so, that he was a seeker. One of those blessed characters that God raises up and blesses, a seeking soul. For we read that he had been to Jerusalem for to worship and was returning and reading the chapter that we read, the 53rd of Isaiah. Not only was he a very humble person, but he's also very needy person. Would you and would I come into the experience that he came into? Understandest thou what thou readest? How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So we read what he was reading. Of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? That's all the scripture, of course, that they had in those days. The words of the prophet, no doubt other portions of the Old Testament. You will find what he didn't find. You will find, if you have a seeking spirit, that Jesus Christ is in the Old Testament just as much as in the New. And so, of course, the preaching of Jesus, and that's what the burden among my spirit is, the preaching of Jesus, but with one exception, or with two exceptions. There was a need of it, and there was a blessing upon it. Dear friends, if the preaching of Jesus today has no effect upon sinners, is it not because there's no need of it? If there was a need for it, and there is a need for it, but if you and I have a need of it, then the preaching of Jesus will be for the benefit of our never dying souls. How much is there of a preaching of Jesus? And how much also is there an application of that preaching? I read these words earlier today, and I thought of those Greeks. We would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. I thought of the blessing of his grace upon a dying thief at Calvary, when he came into a conviction of sin. We indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. Dear friends, that's the work of the Spirit, and oh, how it is vital for the good of souls and for the honour and glory of the three one God. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And that preaching had a lodging place in the Gospels. In one or two of the Gospels, we read of the sowing of the seed. The seed, Jesus said, is the word of God. Where shall it prosper? It will only prosper where the ground's prepared. If it doesn't prosper, the ground hasn't been prepared. Oh, dear friends, you and I hope, are concerned with the welfare of our own souls. May it please the Lord to grant to us a desire for the preaching of Jesus. But there's another thing, of course. There's no blessing in any other. Oh, there's many a soul that's, taken up with stories. There's many souls that seem to be affected by experiences. But dear friends, when you come down to the one thing needful, it's not only the blessing of the preaching of Jesus, the blessing of it, it is the application of it. I should say, how many of you know what it is by what you've read in the Word of God in your life, the way of salvation? You would say to me, well, Jesus Christ was crucified, and on that cross he died, and in dying he opened up a fountain for sin and uncleanness. Perfectly true. How much application? Dear friends, all of you, I hope I can say this, that most of you have been in the house of God all their life and heard these truths over and over again. How much application, dear friends, the preaching of Jesus will not be any means of salvation if there's no application. What is needed then? The third person in the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. You are the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Read the second of Ephesians this night and you will find two words. But God. Dear friends, how important those two words are. It changed the scene from a person who was brought up in religion, steeped in it, I suppose you might say, the apostle. He knew more about the Pharisaical law. He would know much about the Old Testament. He used to be a disciple of Moses. Until that great day when the grace of God entered his heart and stopped him and turned him another way. Dear friends, that's when there's an application of the preaching of Jesus. When God calls his children out of nature's darkness and quickens them into divine life, he makes sin known. He makes transgression felt. And not only that, dear friends, he makes it felt because he's a just and a holy God. Wonderful mercy. The quickening influence of the Holy Ghost brings a sinner to know he's a sinner in the eyes of God. What was it that was different about the prodigal son when he returned to his father's house, when he went out full of his own ability and spent his substance in riotous living? But when he came back, brought back, driven back, we read, dear friends, that he began to be in want. That's the difference. He began to be in want. You remember the prayer? You remember the confession, rather, of the prodigal? I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He'd sinned against his father, of course he had. But now, dear friends, he was aware that he sinned against heaven. The eyes of God was upon him. And the eyes of God showed him no mercy. Showed him no mercy in that he was convinced now of his sin. That is the mercy. But dear friends, in that state and condition that he was in, it wasn't mercy. If the Lord begins to teach you by his grace and reveals the need of salvation, if he makes you aware of what it is to be a sinner in God's eyes, he's shown mercy. When you read in the psalm, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Dear friends, you will see the mercy of those words. Blessed be God. When he begins, dear friends, he begins to strip away all ignorance, false religion, a false hope. Takes away the comfort of what it is to sit in the house of God on a Sunday or a weeknight. Takes that away. Why should the poets remind us, dear friends, it's not boastful language, or it's not a language out of sight. It is out of sight of many. Yes, the very worst of sinners, who upon his grace rely, shall of endless bliss be winners, and shall sing beyond the skies. Dear friends, that's what the poet felt and was led to write in his hymn. That's what the Holy Spirit will do with you and with me if we're amongst his amongst those souls that are quickened into life. There's an old expression, you know, the best is yet to come. Well, it might be a cliche, or it might be an expression that many people indeed would use. But in a certain sense, that's right as far as grace is concerned. When a soul is the subject of God's grace, it's revealing something of the need of Jesus Christ, or the need of mercy. We quoted in the prayer of the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Dear friends, everyone knows it, everyone's read it, and everyone's heard it spoken. What a blessed company of people who have to come to God as a sinner. Now, dear friends, these are not comfortable things, they're not pleasing to the flesh. You don't go home thankful for hearing attractive things out of a pulpit. But it would be a great mercy if you went home as a sinner, condemned, not by someone else, but by your own heart. Oh, dear friends, do you know what it is to feel lost? Totally lost. I don't mean sick of sin. I mean totally lost. No comfort. Have you never come to chapel waiting to hear the justice of God applied to you? Have you never come to chapel expecting the justice of God to be applied to you? That's his work, dear friends, and you will live to thank him. And we do bless God, dear friends, when you trace his work. Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Well, he preached unto him the sufferings of Jesus. But he must have preached something more than just the scripture, because of what followed. What followed? It evidently put into the heart or upon the spirit of the eunuch something of scriptural order, of divine order. What was the purpose of baptism? Baptism by immersion is ridiculed by many, and surprisingly ridiculed by those who shouldn't. And I was going to say the most saddest evidence is when they say, well, that won't save you. That's not the way of salvation, to rest on baptism. Nor is it. But dear friends, rather than the cause of it, but the interpretation of it. The Lord Jesus Christ said on one occasion, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? And he was baptized, I was going to say, under the justice and the condemnation of God, because he became, in the sinner's place, a surety for them. He suffered the just for the unjust. He took their sins upon himself. He was their substitute. He suffered so they wouldn't. And died. And rose again that they should be justified. Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Well, I can't put in words what the apostle, what this evangelist Philip preached, because I wasn't there. But I know this, dear friends. Would you not accept this? What was the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ then coming into the world? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. There was only one cause why he came, and that was love. Would he not preach the love of Christ? The apostle could. Speaking of the love of Christ constraineth us. Dear friends, if you and I are the subjects of his mercy, It's on the grounds of his love. Greater love, he said in the 15th of John, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Dear friends, I hope the Lord will bless this word and make it a blessing. Why I've got it, I do not know. But it seemed to come so sweetly to read these two accounts, first in Isaiah and then here. But dear friends, if you and I sit under or are blessed under the preaching of Jesus, and I mean blessed under it, I don't mean just comfortably settled, as it were, on the knowledge, but rather the effect of the preaching of Jesus, or the application of the blessings that Jesus Christ came to give. Dear friends, one of the mercies of salvation, it is, one of the mercies of course will be that it is to sensible sinners. But one of the mercies, dear friends, that you and I must be taught, dear friends, is the cause. And the cause is love. And so it is as it transfers. We love him because he first loved us. That's what John wrote in his epistle. And why was it that this eunuch, I must go on a little further, why was it this eunuch saw such to correspond with the commandments of the scriptures? Why did he see this? What doth hinder me to be baptized? Dear friends, what the exercise was there. One of the simplest, I was going to say, I hope I don't say anything which would lower the blessing or decrease the blessing of his grace and mercy to your soul. But such souls that are the subjects of the love of Christ feel the love of Christ. And it is in love to him that they follow him through his ordinances. Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He would preach unto the eunuch the blessing of substitution. We've looked at it just a moment ago. Behold a scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place. Substitution. Go and look in the book of Exodus and read about the Passover lamb, the blood shed of the Passover lamb. There was a death in every house, wasn't there? But through mercy there was the death of the... There wasn't the death, dear friends, of the firstborn, but rather the Passover lamb's death in his place. The shedding of blood wasn't the shedding of the child, as it was in the day, it was in the houses of the Egyptians, but rather a substitutional death, one in his place. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's why Orthodox Jews keep the Passover. And dear friends, it was a type of Christ, wasn't it? No death in the Israelites' house other than the Passover lamb, a substitute. Not so in the houses of the Egyptians, because there was no blood to shelter under. Would he not preach substitution then? Would he not seek to declare to the eunuch that God as a people, out of the lost and ruined of mankind, he has appointed some to salvation. And to those who shall be the subjects of salvation, shall be the subjects of the work of grace, shall be the subjects of the substitutional work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Well, the 7th and 8th verses of the 53rd of Isaiah was the verses that we read in this 8th chapter of the Acts. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. In the third chapter of Genesis, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. Not the seed of a man, because he wasn't the seed of man. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and she carried, if I can only put it that way, she carried the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing to do with Joseph. No earthly man had any contribution to the life of that child in Mary's womb. Preached unto him Jesus. The way of salvation. What did he teach him about the ordinance of believers' baptism then? Why was it that the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" I often thought about that. What does hinder? Well, there's any amount of things that hinder. But if there's no love, that will hinder. We must keep to the preaching of Jesus, preached unto him Jesus. Not only was it in love to his church, but obedience to his Father's command. He sent him into the world to save his people from their sin. But then again, dear friends, we must look at the text that we read just now to you. In his humiliation, there was such a willingness. Lord Jesus Christ was willing to lay his life down. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. And again, in the words of Jesus, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish." The children of God, those that are the subjects of his grace, will die. That's the lot of all mankind, but they shall never perish. That which is Christ's, their eternal life, the blessings of their soul, the soul that is blessed as a believer in Jesus Christ, shall live forever. Subject to love. Subject to love they were from before they were born. And preached unto him Jesus. We also want to go back just for a while to the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, we read this word, don't we? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But then the apostle takes up the case. When he says this, he is able to save to the uttermost them that cometh to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I do believe this, dear friends, and I hope you'll receive it as experience will teach you the truth. Uttermost sinners. Not sinners that are, well, you know, not as good as they ought to be. Uttermost sinners are sinners that are hopelessly lost. Destitute of any comfort. Completely destitute of any comfort whatsoever in their soul salvation. Dear friends, that's what it is to be a real sinner. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now I tell you that there's something else too. If the Lord works in your soul a work of grace and takes from you any strength or comfort in yourselves. I was thinking just a few days ago about the prayer of the Pharisee. The prayer of the Pharisee was this, wasn't it? "I thank God I'm not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess." Now that's self-righteousness in a few words. That's no ground of salvation. None whatsoever. That's not confession That's boasting. And boasting will not take a soul to glory. What a mercy, dear friends, if you and I are delivered out of such a sense of our own goodness. The Holy Spirit, by the grace of God, will take away all such comfort, all such hope, will make it all such hopelessness to your soul. Dear friends, there's nothing more solemn than to be a sinner in the eyes of God. And there's nothing more solemn to feel the eyes of God on you as a sinner. But the purposes of God, preached unto him Jesus, the purposes of God was to save his people from their sins. Would he not preach mercy? Do you know any other way of mercy, dear friends, but the preaching of Jesus Christ? Do you know any other way of mercy? Mercy in itself is a most beautiful name, but it's more beautiful in the experience of it. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I tell you this, dear friends, if you've any ground of hope in the person of Jesus Christ, it is on the grounds of mercy and love. There's no better word that describes the dealings of the Lord in your soul or for your salvation. There's no better word, dear friends, to describe the way of grace and the way of grace to a poor sinner is the way of mercy. If you and I know what it is to be condemned as a sinner, you will know what it is, dear friends, to be raised up to a hope in his mercy. But there's something else too. This was a very personal experience. He doesn't speak. Philip is not speaking to everybody. Now, a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ, dear friends, is something to be desired. Perhaps you might say, well, oh, to be found amongst the people of God. Dear friends, I wish we all felt that comfort. To be found amongst the people of God, not sitting next to them in chapel, but numbered with them. Ruth, the Moabite, said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. What this eunuch was experienced was something personal. And dear friends, it must be so. I suppose that if asked, you would say, well, I attend the house of God on Sundays and sometimes on a weeknight. That you're found amongst those who worship God. But that doesn't make you or me, shall we say, blessed for glory. But when it's personal, and I do find, dear friends, looking back on experience, I do find, dear friends, it's vital to be personal, or for the Lord to be personal. Because, dear friends, he'll never deceive his people. What I would feel, dear friends, what I have to know myself, and I hope you know, is that his dealings with you are not on grounds of works, but on grounds of mercy. What a blessing that is, dear friends, when you can trace something of his mercy to your soul, something that you not deserve, something that you don't expect to deserve. Has he met with you? Has he given you a concern over your standing? Not your standing in God's house. Dear friends, your standing for eternity. Well, you might say, some of you, well, I'm not near eternity. How do you know? I know I am. By a number of years, I'm very close to eternity. But I do bless God that the Lord began to teach me many years back of what it was to be a sinner, of what it was to be in need of mercy and pardon. One or two incidents of which I won't repeat. gave me sometimes a little hope in the mercy of God. Now, dear friends, whatever you may not know of Jesus Christ, and that may be a hindrance to you that you don't know, the Lord put a desire in your soul that you long to know. As I said, the apostle said that we may know him. Dear friends, you will know him as he's revealed in the want of him. And there's another thing about Jesus Christ which very few people realize. But grace will make him precious. Make him very precious. He's more precious far than life and all its comforts are. No relationship, however good on earth, can be compared to that union with Christ, in union with the Lamb from condemnation free, the saints from everlasting were and shall forever be. What a mercy, dear friends, to be united to Christ by love, by choice, not your choice, his choice, I should say, and by the Holy Spirit's divine teaching. I had a debate the other day with somebody in that beautiful hymn, Rock of Ages. The hymn book we've got says, "Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die." In a little chapel I used to preach, now's closed. It had an old Gadsby's hymn book. And it used to, that hymn had this in it, "Black I to the fountain fly." And I could get on with that, because I think black is worse than foul. You may disagree, but I know how I felt. The preaching of Jesus. Oh, the mercy, dear friends, in the knowledge. Oh, there's something that we should never forget before we finish. Dear friends, the preaching of Jesus is indeed what a minister should do. Nothing else. He began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That should be preached every time a pulpit's occupied, every time a meeting's arranged, the preaching of Jesus. Who knows, dear friends, where it will find a lodging place? I remember my old pastor at Zora telling me on the way back from one of the chapels in Essex, Satan got at him, he said, because they've heard all the same thing all over again. The same thing. Dear friends, there's only one thing, isn't there, what's necessary? An interest in the Saviour's blood, one's pardon sealed, one's peace with God, the preaching of Jesus. He who could open the eyes of the blind and unstop the ears of the deaf, gave his life a ransom for many, so that his people shall be the subjects of eternal mercies. Now, I'm sure you won't mind me saying that we all are indeed the granted providential mercies. But providential mercies will die when we die. But eternal mercies are the gift of God. They're not earned and they're certainly not deserved. But they are showered upon the people of God. Oh, how solemn it is, dear friends, to lightly consider the preaching. But the preaching of the servants of God should be the preaching of Jesus. They cannot apply it. The good servant of God, Haggai, speaks about being the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. But that's all he was, and so that's what all preachers are. He cannot apply it. No minister able, or shall we say, graciously able, they can't apply the truth. What a blessing it happens to be, dear friends, if so be that your soul desires the preaching of Jesus, but desires it on the knowledge of it or the experience of it, so that there's agreement between a pew and a seat that upon which you sit. Well, may it be in this place, dear friends, when you come and worship on the Lord's Day, on a weeknight, that you come seeking for something for your soul. I seek to hope and find a blessing for my soul. That's the way to come to chapel, and that's the way, dear friends, the Lord will meet with you. But it is his work. Those who are the subjects of mercy are the subjects of grace. Those who are the subjects of grace are being prepared for glory. God takes away everything you rest on. Whether you've been brought up to come to chapel or otherwise, he'll take all that dependency upon that away. I woke up with these words this morning. Much to bother me about certain things in the pathway. But it came upon my spirit as I woke. Those words of a hymn, "Cast, he said, on me thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply." And so he has, dear friends. So he has. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. There's one thing that I was going to insist upon. When the Lord sent his apostles to preach, he sent them to preach where he himself would come. Dear friends, does that not describe the condition of the children of God? If they should preach, it will be the places where he himself should come. It's a very profitable word in the closing book of the Old Testament. And I know what it speaks about prophetic, but I also know, I trust, what it speaks about spiritual. In the third chapter of the prophecy of Malachi, is the first verse is this: "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Well, of course, it's prophetic of John the Baptist, but it's prophetic of the Holy Ghost, dear friends. "I will send my messenger, he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Let that word be a comfort to a seeking soul. He shall come. There's another word which is very similar, but a great comfort to the people of God, the tried, troubled people of God. The Apostle Peter wrote in his first epistle that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, that's where the blessing is. That's when it will be known. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish will preach next Lord's Day, and we will hold our prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock in the morning. And Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 170. What a doleful voice I hear, what a garden scene is there, what a frightful, ghastly flood, Jesus weltering in his blood. Hymn 170.
bless thee, Lord, to rest upon thine own word. O, pardon and forgive what's been amiss. Lord, as we leave thy house, go with us. Take us each to our homes in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit, rest upon us now and forever. Amen.